We continue our learning. Lili Nishmas Hindel Bas El Yochrima Kohen David Bemanachem Munishin Chaim Yaakov Mepinichos Elio. We're in Shvias Perakei Mishnah Zayin. Hayotzer Mocher Chamesh Kade Shemen VaChamisha Asar Kade Yayin. A Yotzer, a potter, a person who makes earthenware pots. So he sells them to people. People are going to be buying the pots in order to store their oil, in order to store their wine. So what is our concern? Our concern is that a person may be using these pots, these jugs, to actually take more grapes or more olives than he's entitled to during the Shemitah year. So should we be concerned that the person who's the Yotzer, who's making these pots, is going, if he's going to be sells 100 pots to someone, 100 jugs, this person is probably going to a field and he's taking a lot more than he deserves. Or maybe it's a field that was closed off to the public, because if it's accessible to everybody, so then obviously no one's going to let him take too much. So how much is a Yotzer permitted to sell? Says the Mishnah, he's able to sell Yotzer Mocher Chamesh Kadeyain, 5 pitchers of oil, V'chamisha Asar Kadeyain, and 15 pitchers of wine. That is, we assume that correlates to the amount of grapes and olives that one person would come in and take from a field that was accessible to everybody. That's a normal amount. Shekein da'akol lahavi min ha'hefker. That's what people normally take from hefker. So even if, let's say the person you're selling to, maybe you're afraid, maybe he's not so careful with the laws of Shemitah, but you don't have to suspect him if he's buying 5 jugs of oil, 5 empty jugs of oil for storage, or 15 empty jugs of wine for storage of wine. So that's what I have to worry about. In fact, we don't have to be worried either that maybe, I know what he's doing. He's going to take all of these 20. It's 5 and 15. So let's put it together. This 20. He's going to use all 20 for oil. And clearly he's going to take more oil than he deserves. Or maybe all 20 for wine. Now we're not afraid of either, say some of the Mefarshim, because the jugs actually looked very different. Those that were used for wine and those that were used for oil. So a person wouldn't mix and match anyway. Mishnah continues, "Hevi yoseh mikan mutter." What does that mean? If he brought more than this is permitted, it means like this: even though he can't sell a customer, the potter can't sell like more jugs than what we said for 15 wine jugs and 5 oil jugs. Let's say the person comes with a lot more wine or oil than this, and he needs a lot more than the 5 and the 15 jugs. He's allowed to sell it to b'dieved after the fact. It looks like he collected a lot more than he deserves. Nonetheless, we don't have to, this pack, b'dieved after the fact, we don't have to suspect him that he brought the wine and oil from a field that was restricted, and that's why he was able to access so much stuff. He could basically stole. We don't have to worry about that. After the fact, you can give him as much as he needs. He says, listen, I have all this wine and oil. You can assume that somehow he got it legally according to halacha. Mishnah continues, u'mocher la'ovdei kochavim ba'aretz, u'l'Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. Means that a potter, this Yotzer, can sell pot jugs more than this limit if he's selling them to non-Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to worry about that. They don't have to follow the laws of Shemitah, so there's no limit, of course, for them. And not only that, but to Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, a person who can sell as many jugs as he likes to a Jew who lives in a Jew who is living in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. We don't suspect that he's going to be using them in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that's also mutter. Some say that this means even the Jew is going to be bringing to Chutz La'aretz wine and oil from Eretz Yisrael. There's no limit as well, and the Gra even takes it a step further that you can sell as many jugs as you like to a Jew who's in Chutz La'aretz, even though that Jew is actually lives in Eretz Yisrael. As long as he's buying them in Chutz La'aretz, you can sell them as many as you like. Perek Hey, Mishnah Ches, Beshamai Omrim, Lo Yimkor Lo Para Choreshes Pashvias. Shammai says, you're not allowed to sell someone a cow that normally plows in the Shemitah year. Now, what's a concern, obviously, is that he's going to be using it to plow, and we can't assume that, well, maybe he's buying the cow, he's going to shecht it. No, we don't assume he's going to shecht it. That cow is generally bought for plowing, especially if he's a plowing cow, so that's we assume that that's prohibited. Basil, based on that logic, says, no, it's possible, even though it's a minority of people who do so, a very slim chance that it's so. Nonetheless, we can make the assumption that the person is buying it for slaughtering for purposes to eat it. We don't have to assume he's buying it for plowing, and that's going to be permitted. Mishnah continues, Mocher lo peros afilu b'shas hazera. You're allowed to sell to someone who you suspect maybe violates the laws of Shemitah. You can sell him fruit even during the season of Shas Hazera, of planting season, because we could assume that he's going to eat the fruit and not necessarily plant the fruit. Obviously, the fruit, you know, potentially could be planted, to plant the seeds. We assume he's going to be eating it. There could be a concern that during this time period, specifically during Shemitah, he's going to plant. But nonetheless, we don't allow such a thing. Now, the Rosh actually says that Beis Shammai, who says you're not allowed to sell a plowing cow because we assume it's going to plow. Here, he would agree that this is okay. You can sell peres afshil b'shas hazera. We can presume that he's buying the fruit to eat, and there's no concern he's buying it to plant. Even Beis Shammai would agree to that. Mishnah continues, u'mashi lo sa'aso afal pishu yodeh sheyesh lo goren. You can also lend him your sa'a. So I mean, just as a measuring tool that measures a sa'a amount of whatever it is, a volume. You're allowed to lend a person who maybe you suspect to violate Shemitah. You can lend him this your sa'a measuring tool, and assume that he's using to measure something that's permitted, and not that he's using it to measure his Shemitah produce to storage, which is for storage purposes, which is obviously not allowed, because Shemitah produce can't be stored. It's supposed to be eaten right away. Nonetheless, we assume he's using a measuring tool for something else, let's say for grinding. You can also exchange money, meaning you're going to give him prutos, copper coins, for his ma'os, which are silver coins, 6 ma to a dinar, to which is also a zuz. You're allowed to do that too. You can change money. He wants prutos, he wants smaller change. You'll say, I know why he wants a smaller change. He's planning to pay his workers. You know he has workers, and maybe he's going to pay his workers for working during the Shemitah year. You don't have to worry about that and be concerned about that either. The Mishnah concludes, however, that if all the, right, these activities will be forbidden if it's stated explicitly. Right, if the purchaser says specifically, you know why I want to buy this item is because I'm using it for Shemitah, obviously that would be prohibited. Now, that's so obvious that some claim that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is like this. Let's say he says to him, sell me this cow for plowing. And he doesn't say I'm plowing. If he says, sell me the cow because I want to plow during Shemitah, that's obvious. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. When the Mishnah says, v'kulon b'feirush asurin, it means if he says, I'm going to use this for plowing, that already is being more explicit, even though it doesn't mention Shemitah in particular. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, then I'm not permitted to sell it to him.